Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, church. How are you feeling? Can you hear me okay? I am sorry to disappoint. I am not Pastor John. I am Pastor Jason. Pastor John's feeling a little bit under the weather. So I got told yesterday and I said, I'll just jump in and make this happen. So please be praying for Pastor John. He's okay. He's just under the weather, you know, and matter of fact, you know how it is. His wife let us know, like, hey, he's not feeling too well. You know, he wasn't going to say nothing. You know what I'm saying? So wives, thank you, wives. We take care of your men. Because he wasn't going to make the call, but she did. So he's resting. He's fine. He'll be back next week. But this morning, we are in Genesis 41, right? Genesis 41, we're continuing in this, over this month, talking about difference makers in the Bible, difference makers, people who really stood out to make a change wherever they were at. And we're talking about Joseph. Joseph, arguably one of the most amazing stories in the entire Bible. But we have a lot to cover in Genesis 41, and I'm just going to pray and get into it. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, Jesus. Thank you for this time we get to spend together. Thank you that we can continue to glean new wisdom from your word every single time we open up the book, Lord God. Be with us during this time, Father. I pray that it'll be your words that are heard, not mine, that I would fade to the background, but you would be at the forefront of what everyone is hearing. We thank you for what you're doing. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. And you have to excuse me. I've got a little bit of a cold still, so I'm just clearing my throat. All right. Genesis 41. I am reading from the New King James Version. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream, and one night he and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as he had interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can interpret a dream, you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream I stood on the bank of the river. Suddenly 7 cows came up out of the river, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first 7, the fat cows When they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as the beginning. So I awoke. Also, I saw in my dream, and suddenly seven heads came up out of one stalk full and good. Then behold, seven heads withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind sprang up after them. And the thin heads devoured the seven good heads. So I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. Their dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows, which came up after them, are 7 years. And the seven empty heads, blighted by the east wind, are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise. And all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe." And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God, and God will bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years. Let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. Verse 37. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man who is this, who is the spirit of God?" Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Excuse me, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there was no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him as his wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. Now in the seven plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea, until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, "For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." And the name of the second he called Ephraim, "For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph, for whatever he says to you, do." The famine was all over the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all lands. Amen. Amen. All right. So we have a lot to cover here. But before we continue this, for those of you who aren't familiar with Joseph, Joseph, he was the son of Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, son of Abraham. These are the patriarchs of the Hebrew faith. And in Genesis 37, Joseph has a dream. Now Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob, and the story goes that he received a coat of many colors, symbolizing his father's favoritism, and he had two prophetic dreams, and his brothers, and in the dream, he told his brothers that his whole family would bow down before him, and this angered his brothers, so they plotted against him, and they threw him in a pit, and they sold him into slavery. And his father Jacob was deceived, believing that he was dead. And then Joseph, when he goes to Egypt, he becomes a servant in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was an Egyptian official, and he gained favor, and he rose up through the ranks within Potiphar's house. And then he was falsely accused of attempting to assault Potiphar's wife, and so then he was thrown back into prison. And then in Genesis 40, Joseph interprets dreams in the prison. He met Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker, and they both had troubling dreams. And Joseph interpreted their dreams, predicting that the cup, predicting the cupbearer's restoration and the baker's execution. And then Joseph asks the cupbearer, he says, remember me when you go back to Pharaoh. But it was like as soon as the cupbearer left prison, he was like, I don't know who that dude was, and just completely forgot about Joseph. And so now here we are in Genesis 41, and we begin in verse 1, where it says, at the end of 2 full years, Joseph was in prison, forgotten by Pharaoh's butler for 2 full years. And there was difficulty and discouragement in those years for Joseph, but we assume he still trusted God nonetheless. And many lessons can come from this. Sometimes the good that we do seems to be unrewarded, right? Waiting is a common theme in the Christian life. God often appoints us to wait much longer than we would like. Can the church say amen? How many of us are like, come on, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. And God's like, man, you ain't ready for nothing yet. Be patient. Just wait, right? Sometimes God appoints us to wait much longer than we would like. God appoints our starts and stops. God's hand was in all of this with Joseph. And when the time was right, the butler knew exactly where to find Joseph, right? Because if Joseph had been released then, 2 years later, who knows where Joseph would have been when Pharaoh had his dreams, right? So again, hindsight being 20/20, we can see God's hand is at work, and then Pharaoh has a dream. And in Pharaoh's dream, seven fat cows come out of the Nile River, and they were consumed by seven ugly and gaunt cows. And this troubled Pharaoh, he woke up, but then he goes back to sleep, and then he has another dream where seven thin heads of grain are devoured by seven plump and full heads of grain, and he wakes up again, and it's a dream, okay, but we can imagine that this was a crazy, like just very a lifelike dream, right? But this dream was a message from God, right? God was speaking to Pharaoh. Pharaoh just couldn't understand that. God still speaks to us today, and he may use supernatural means. He may use strange, he may use crazy things to get our attention. But more normally, God speaks to us through his word. We remember in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, where it says, God, who at various times in various ways spoke to him past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through the Son. You want to hear God speak and you're not opening up his word? You're making a huge mistake, because God still speaks to us through his word. So in verse 8, it says, in the morning, his spirit was troubled. Pharaoh didn't just take this as just a crazy dream and just dismiss it, because we've all had crazy dreams, right? You wake up, you're like, whoo, man, was I on something last night? What happened, But in his spirit, he knew that there was something important to this, right? And so, it says Pharaoh told him his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them, right? Joseph told the butler and the baker in prison in Genesis 40, verse 8, do not interpretations belong to God? The interpretation of this dream belonged to God. And he didn't give that knowledge to the magicians of Egypt. He didn't give that knowledge to the wise men of Egypt. He didn't give that knowledge to the priests of Egypt. Only he had that, right? And then in verse 9, the butler, he says, I remember my faults this day. He remembers Joseph and confessed the wrong that he did against him. And he recommended Joseph to Pharaoh as a man who interprets the dreams. Now remember, this is 2 years, 2 years after he was released from prison. So Joseph, who did right, and even in prison, he had been elevated to a position of leadership, but he was still in prison, right? Prison is prison. It doesn't matter how glamorous it is, right? You still locked up. And he did what was right. And he said, "Remember me." And as soon as the butler walked out, different interpretations say the cupbearer, the butler is the same person. As soon as he walked out of prison, it was like a mind wipe. It was like Men in Black, with the little the mind wipe thing to forget. He walked out, he saw the son of Egypt, and he was like, "Whoa," and forgot about it. But now he remembers. So then verse 14 says that Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. When it was God's timing to get Joseph out of prison, it happened fast. Often we feel that there are long periods of time when God doesn't do anything, right? Has anyone been there? Maybe you're there now. You feel like God is not moving. God is not doing nothing. My situation is hopeless, right? But when his timing is right, everything can come together in an instant. During the times that we think God isn't doing anything, he is doing the work that's most important to him. And that work is developing our character. That work is transforming us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. We love the words from Romans 8:28, right? We love it, right? I bet some of us have it on our wall somewhere. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We love those words, and then we stop, right? And we're like, all good things are going to work together. All good things are going to work for my good, but then we stop reading, right? We stop reading. We forget the next verse. Verse 29, it says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." God's work in our life is to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ, and that takes time. That takes time. And for some of us, it takes a little bit longer, right? Because if you like Pastor Jason, you can be stubborn. You can be stubborn. Don't look at me like that, Nicole. Don't look at me like that. You can be stubborn and think, "I got this. I'm going to handle this." Right? But God still wants to do the work, and it often takes time. Here we see another way that Joseph shows us Jesus. He was also taken from long obscurity into great prominence very, very quickly. And so Pharaoh tells him, "I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it." Pharaoh's dream was actually a revelation from God. He received it, but he couldn't understand it. It's like a person who reads the Bible but needs the help from someone to help them understand it. And that's why a lot of you are on this call today. A lot of you plug into Zoom every Monday through Friday, every morning, because you have a hard time. You can read the Bible and you have a hard time understanding it. This is very similar. And all we do is just help guide you and bring some clarity to what God may or may not be saying into your life. But Joseph says, "It is not in me." Verse 16, "It is not in me." Pharaoh gave Joseph a golden opportunity to glorify himself. But what did Joseph do? He refused. He did not use this chance to glorify himself before Pharaoh. But he definitely used this chance to glorify God. Amen. And he says, God will give Pharaoh an answer. God will give Pharaoh an answer. Joseph seemed much wiser and much humbler than he was before. If it was true that in the past he told his brothers his previous dreams in a very self-glorifying way, all of that was gone. Joseph was now a humble, humble man. Joseph knew that God alone had the answer. And perhaps that's why, one of the reasons why God kept him in prison those extra 2 years. Joseph may have felt like, "Man, I'm making progress. I'm making progress." But God was like, nah, homeboy, you ain't made progress yet. You got a little bit more work to do. We may think we're there, but God God in his infinite wisdom knows there's still a little bit more to do. God's work of character building was being accomplished in Joseph. Even when perhaps he thought nothing was happening, God was still working in his life. So then the leader of Egypt, Pharaoh, he explains the dream to Joseph, and he explains it in the same way that he explained it in verses 2 through 7. Right? And more details of the dream come with the second telling. When the skinny cows ate the fat cows in the dream, they themselves did not become fat. That's a key thing, part of this dream. And Joseph says in verse 25 that the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. There would be 7 years of plenty and abundance, followed by another 7 years of want, another 7 years of famine. And the years of famine would be so bad that the good years will be forgotten. The 7 years are going to be so bad that no one's going to remember how plentiful and how abundant life was during those first 7 years. And he says the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because this thing is established by God. Joseph saw God's confirmation in the repetition of the dream, right? And Joseph knew the principle that would later be revealed in Deuteronomy 19:15, where it says, "By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established." We can say of God's great message to us, the Bible, that the thing is established by God. It may be old-fashioned for some people to say, to say this, but it's still true. God's word is true. God's word is true. God's word speaks in many different styles, but in each style, it is true. The Bible is true history. It is true commandment. It's true poetry. It's true wisdom. It's true prophecy. God's word is true. Amen. We can celebrate and praise God for that. His word is true. And Joseph goes on to say, God will shortly bring it to pass. The confirmation of the dream indicated the urgency of the message, that it's going to happen shortly. It was going to come real quick. God spoke all this through Joseph, using Joseph as a guide to Pharaoh. Some of us wish that God would give us such supernatural guidance, right? That God would just speak to us as he spoke to Joseph. He would reveal things to us as he did with Joseph. Many of us want guidance from God, like a map, showing us where to go, what to do it, how to get there. But instead, this is for somebody that you've been trying to get these answers, but you're missing the point, because Jesus comes to us as a guide, and he's saying to some of us today, stay close to me, and I will guide you along the way. Stay close to me, and I will walk with you. Instead of looking for a map, look for a guide. The guide, the messenger from God, Jesus Christ. Seek him. Seek him, and he will guide your life. Seek him and hold on to him. Hold on to him. The word says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. But if Jesus ain't with you, you're going to remain in that valley of the shadow of death, right? So hold on to Jesus, and he will guide you. And then Joseph says in verse 33, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man. So at this point, Joseph gave Pharaoh knowledge, telling him what would happen, right, from the dream. But now Joseph began to apply wisdom to that knowledge. It's good to remember that there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge tells you what's going on, but wisdom tells you what to do about it. Knowledge is the diagnosis, but wisdom is the cure. Knowledge is good and necessary, but it's not enough. Our world today has a whole lot more knowledge than wisdom. Come on, someone say amen to that. This world has a whole lot more knowledge than wisdom. Our scientists, our politicians, and the rest can often see what the problems are. But true wisdom sees that Jesus is the answer to everything. And in God, in his God-given wisdom, Joseph saw that this great coming crisis needed proper administration. The problem had to be understood. The goal and the vision to meet that goal had to be formulated. The right people had to be put in place. He says, appoint officers over the land. They had to understand the big vision and their role in it. Someone had to make sure it was all operating according to plan. The work had to be measured. God would use a man to put all that into place. It wouldn't happen by what we normally think of as a miracle. God was going to put men into place to make this happen. And he talks about tax them one fifth. That means a 20% tax was going to be implemented on the people so they could, get these grain stores, built up. And there are ancient sources that suggest that Pharaoh normally took 10% of the grain in Egypt as tax. So if it was true, Joseph comes in and he's doubling the taxes over the next 7 years. And why did he do this? So that, according to verse 36, that the land may not perish during the famine. The message of God through Pharaoh's dream was of a crisis that was going to come. And if they didn't prepare, the land would perish during the famine. So this was a call to action. And he goes on to say the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, verse 37. He understood that Joseph not only had the right interpretation of the dream, but also the right advice to respond to this message from God. Right? And it says in verse 38, a man in whom this is the spirit of God. Pharaoh had plenty of priests, plenty of magicians, plenty of holy men, plenty of wise men, plenty of all that. But what he didn't have until Joseph was a man with the Spirit of God. And this made Joseph stand out among everyone else. And it's really amazing because this is the first mention in the Bible of the Holy Spirit coming upon a man. And it's interesting to note that it is in regard to more practical things. Joseph didn't have to preach a sermon. Joseph didn't have to lead prayer. He didn't have to do any of those things for Pharaoh to see the Spirit of God on him. He could see it in his character. He could see it in the way he talked. He could see it in his knowledge. He could see it in his wisdom. He could see it in his humility. The presence and power of the Holy Spirit can be seen in very practical ways in our character and our humility. Do not look for a platform. Please don't think that you need to be on a stage somewhere preaching the word of God or be on stage singing and leading in worship. And don't think that you have to be in the spotlight for you to have any kind of impact for the kingdom of God. The way you walk, the way you talk, the way you hold yourself up, the way you represent Jesus Christ, come on, somebody. That is how people see Jesus in practical ways. In practical ways. Verse 39, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. This was the first indication that Pharaoh wanted Joseph to be the one to save Egypt through his planning and preparation. And this probably surprised Joseph because now Joseph was a different man. He was humble. I imagine Joseph was just giving advice, The Holy Spirit was downloading in Joseph. And he was saying, "Hey, Pharaoh, you got to do this. You got to do this, 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 you know." And then once he's done, Joseph's probably hoping, "Man, maybe I can go home now," But nah, Pharaoh had a surprise for Joseph. He said, "You shall be over my house." See, Joseph had the knowledge and the wisdom, but Pharaoh had a choice, and he chose to give Joseph authority over all. He didn't say, "Thanks for the advice. I got this. Call you if I need you." No, Pharaoh wisely surrendered to Joseph's knowledge, wisdom, and authority. Joseph would be over Pharaoh's house, which means he was over Pharaoh's personal business. Joseph would rule all the people of Egypt according to his word. Joseph would be second in the kingdom behind Pharaoh. Joseph would have authority over all the land of Egypt. Joseph may, he only seemed to be an overnight success. And by outside appearance, he was. Because my man yesterday was in prison, and he had been in prison for a hot minute. And the next day, he's number two in Egypt. But in truth, his journey took 13 years. 13 years. This part of Joseph's story reminds us of some important principles regarding promotion and advancement. Promotion and advancement is from the Lord, according to Psalm 75, verses 6 through 7. That's not to say that hard work, preparation, and good habits and don't contribute to success. They do, but even those things are gifts and abilities from God and should be regarded with humility and gratitude towards Him. Promotion and advancement is never enough without the Lord. You can't be so promoted or advanced to where you stop needing Jesus. And so often we do that. We say, I've made it, I've made it. And then we forget Jesus until the next thing comes. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh, Jesus, where are you? And he's like, he's Jesus. This is the interpretation of Pastor Jason, right? Jesus is like, yo, I've been here this whole time and you've been ignoring me. I advanced you, I elevated you, and you're ignoring me, right? Often promotion and success, it makes us see our need for Jesus more than ever. That's why it's so important that we latch on to him. So even when we are promoted, when we are elevated, we still recognize that it's all the work of Jesus. Jesus received the ultimate promotion or an advancement. His, because Joseph's path from humble servant and prisoner to powerful ruler became a prophecy of Jesus himself. And we can go, and I'm not going to read it, but Philippians 2, 5 through 11, write that down, describes that ultimate promotion of Jesus. Verse 42, Pharaoh took off his ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. The signet ring was an expression of Pharaoh's authority. Now Joseph had that authority. And once he rose, he wore the shackles of a prisoner, but now he had a signet ring of Pharaoh. It says he clothed him in garments of linen. Once Joseph had dungeon rags, right? But now he had garments of fine linen. Once Joseph had the chains of a slave, and now he was adorned with a golden chain around his neck. Once Joseph, he walked as a slave, and now he was traveling in style. He rode in the second chariot of Egypt. He enjoyed great affluence. Without your consent, verse 44, no man may lift his hand or foot. This expresses the idea of authority. Joseph once could only obey orders. Now Joseph could give orders. And in these ways, Joseph illustrates, what happens when we're just obedient to God. This is in a great way, Joseph is a picture of Jesus and who he is and what he has done, and in the place we should have in our life, because Jesus is a messenger from God. Jesus speaks truth about the future. The plan of Jesus provides bread for life, and authority is given to Jesus by choice. Amen. So we're going to begin to close here. I don't want to go too much over time. Verse 45, and Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. And Jewish legends say that each letter of Joseph's Egyptian name means something. And when we link them all together, these legends, again, just legends, okay, this is in the Bible, say the meaning of Joseph's Egyptian name was seer, redeemer, prophet, supporter, interpreter of dreams, wise. But more likely, the name means God speaks and he lives, referring to God's word coming through Joseph, his own preservation, the way he preserved both Egypt and the entire region. And it says Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. Joseph was a young man to have authority like that. Yet he had been in God's school of trust deepening and his God's school of character development for a long time. Because remember, according to Genesis 37, verse 2, he was sold as a slave at the age of 17. Now here he is 30. It says he gathered up all the food for 7 years worth, from the land of Egypt. And so Joseph did what was right. He actually stored up the grain during those 7 years, right? And this was a significant logistical challenge, but he made it happen. And it's seen, and it says he gathered very much grain. And remember, like we said before, he doubled the tax. So we have all this grain over the next 7 years. And so then Joseph, he gets married and he has children, right, from his Egyptian wife. And his wife was the daughter of one of the priests. And his first son was named Manasseh. And the name means forgetfulness. This is because God made Joseph forget all the previous pain and trial in his life. All right. This doesn't mean that he just completely forgot, like he had no remembrance, but it didn't affect him anymore, right? He still remembered, but it didn't affect him anymore. And his second son, he named Ephraim, which means fruitfulness, because God made Joseph fruitful in Egypt, right? So it's amazing what God did in his life. Listen, Joseph, it says, for God has made me forget, Manasseh, for God has caused me to be fruitful, Ephraim. Right, his two sons. Joseph did not forget the faith of his fathers. Even though he rose to great glory in Egypt and had an Egyptian wife, and as a sign of this, his children were given Hebrew names, not Egyptian names. Right? That's key, right? Because now Joseph had an Egyptian name. He was married to an Egyptian woman. He had Egyptian children now, but they were given Hebrew names, right? And that's going to be really key when you continue to read, in Genesis going into Exodus, the importance of these names. And the famine was in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread, verse 54. Because of his wise preparation, Egypt became a supply source for the whole region, which was suffering from a severe famine, right? And it says all countries came to Joseph in Egypt by grain. The people in Canaan, including Joseph's own family, were suffering from this famine. But God made wise provision for them by sending Joseph ahead of the family. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Joseph did not have Romans 8:28 on paper, but he had it in his heart. And all of us today may have it on paper, but it's not in our heart. Brothers and sisters, do you love the Lord? Are you faithful to the Lord? Right? You want things to happen in your life. Just be faithful. At any time, Joseph could have just given up. He could have just, I'm done. I'm done. And he could have cursed God for allowing him to go from the pit to Potiphar's house to jail and all this stuff, right? Over 13 years of his life. But he didn't. He remained faithful. And as he remained faithful, the Lord was doing a work in him, right? At 17 years old, when he had those first dreams with his brothers, Joseph was not ready to manage the business of Egypt. He was a punk kid, 17 years old. He thought highly of himself. He had those dreams about and said, man, all y'all gonna bow to me. Y'all gonna bow to me. Bragging, bragging. And what's amazing is that eventually those same brothers will bow to him. But now Joseph's heart was changed. Joseph's heart was ready for the authority and the place that he was going to put him in. A lot of us feel like we're stagnant, we're stuck, and it's because we're not ready. And God still has to do a work. So let Joseph be an example to us, brothers and sisters. Go through the process. Go through the process that God wants to put you through. And I can promise you, and the word that is truth, the word of God that is truth promises that he will be with you. He will not forsake you. And you're going to be even better off than when you began. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Father, we love you. We just worship you. We worship your name, Jesus, because you are worthy, as we sang the song this weekend. I pray that as we go about our day, Lord God, that this story of Joseph would just come to our mind, Father. Reveal new truths to us, Father, new revelations, Father. of what you have for us, what you want for us, Lord God. I pray for my brothers and sisters on this call listening now or listening later on a podcast or a YouTube, Father. You just speak to them, Jesus. Show them those areas that you want to work on, those areas that maybe they're holding on to themselves and they're keeping for themselves, Father, but you want to do an amazing work in their lives, Father, so that they can be prepared to do the work that you have called them to do, Father. Father, we praise you for what you're doing in our lives. We just thank you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. All right, brothers and sisters, I love y'all. And I will see you again tomorrow morning. God bless.